ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If everybody is set and ready, you know what? So am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
25 questions, 5 categories. Our categories tonight are category number 1, Aboriginal names and words. Aboriginal names and words. Category number 2, people mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire. I'm just saying, right? People mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire. Category number 3, history. For category number 4, these days. And category number 5, the inner planets of the solar system. All right, Aboriginal names and words, people mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire, history, these days, the inner planets of the solar system. Stuart from Victor Harbour is a seasoned opener, and he's on again. Hello, hey, Stuart. Bill. How are you?
Yeah, that was interesting about that lady talking about the waste, food waste.
I know. Unbelievable.
It's actually really a bit,
it offends everybody, doesn't it? I mean, there are hungry people in this country.
Yeah, that's very concerning, Phil.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, there's about 15 cars in Victor Harbour with people sleeping in them now.
I know.
It's really quite
bad. I mean,
it's
criminal, isn't it?
It's sad what's going on. I just wish we could, what do we do? I really don't know, mate. Hopefully things. Well, yeah, it's hard. So I'll be quiet. But listening to that lady was quite interesting.
Yeah. What sort of world do we live in where people in our country are hungry?
You have many. You know where you live. Do you have many homeless people out there?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, I do.
My son lives in Dunedin, in New Zealand. He just told me the last few years, he's noticed it's really becoming an issue. It's just Australia and New Zealand are wealthy countries, Phil.
They are. Hey, Stewie, I enjoy your soapbox, let's get into it.
Yeah, I'm just talking to you because it is interesting.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And it concerns all of us. But I'll just go with the inner planets, Phil, and it's interesting just what's going on.
The inner planets of the solar system.
Thanks,
question number 1. Which metallic element gives Mars its distinctive red colour?
Isn't that iron?
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
The only reason I ask is because you're asking me a question. Is it iron? And as you know, I don't generally answer questions.
I know you don't, mate. I was just a bit reticent.
Iron, yes. Technically, iron oxide, also known as rust.
Yeah, Mars, yeah, okay.
Did you see NASA's announced plans to build a base on the moon by the end of the decade?
I heard about something like that. Is that what
I mean, with all the issues in the world, where would you? I mean, really?
This decade?
Yeah, this decade.
Well, 4 years.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. That, don't worry, it's not going to happen.
No, I just don't. I just think it's pie in the sky stuff, but still.
Question 2, the inner planets of the solar system. Is that what we're doing?
We'll go for it. Thanks, Phil.
Which prehistoric supercontinent had a name meaning all Earth in Greek?
Was that Gondwanaland?
Not Gondwanaland, no.
Well, that's the end of me.
That's the end of you.
It's good enough for me. It's good enough for you.
Good enough for you. See you, Stuart. Bye-bye. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Okie doke. Lincoln from Berry's Creek. G'day, Lincoln.
G'day, Phil. How you are tonight, mate?
All right. Yeah, not bad. The inner planets of the solar system. Which prehistoric supercontinent had a name meaning all Earth in Greek?
Guess what, Phil? Just keep me and have a good night, okay?
Good on you, mate. Thank you. Bye-bye. Hey, by the way, there's some breaking news. I'm reluctant to spruik it too hard, but there is some breaking news out of Iran. Iran, this is an announcement just breaking on overseas news outlets, that Iranian TV have got hold of what they say is the unofficial draft agreement between the US and Iran, which allows for the end of the blockade, the US blockade, and the opening of the Strait of Hormuz. Look, why is this significant? I mean, I suppose it is because it indicates that, well, there are negotiations that are maybe more advanced than we're being led to believe. But anyway, that's the breaking story. Andy from Batemans Bay. G'day, Andy.
Yeah, g'day. I guess it's all the planets, inner planets. Is that planets are like closer to the sun than Earth is my query.
Well, queries don't get far here. Inner planets of the solar system. Which prehistoric supercontinent had a name meaning all Earth in Greek?
Yeah, if it refers to planets, the only one I can think of that's that can't be Mercury because that doesn't. I don't think so, but I'll go with Mercury and thanks.
No, mate, not Mercury. No, it wasn't. Which prehistoric supercontinent had a name meaning all Earth in Greek? I mean, it's not referring to a planet. I mean, I don't think that's where we're driving at. Jai's on the road. G'day, Jai.
G'day, Bill.
Now, we need a word here, don't we? Which prehistoric supercontinent had a name meaning all Earth in Greek?
Gondwanaland?
No, we've had Gondwanaland. It's not Gondwanaland. That related to, what became Australia, but go on. It's not, it's already been used, so I'll give you another crack at it.
No, that was my guess. Sorry, Bill.
That's it? Yeah. Okie doke. Thanks, Jai. Bye. See you, mate. Bye-bye. Okie doke. Shane in Darlinghurst. Hi, Shane.
G'day. It's the other one. It's Pangaea.
Pangaea, correct. Which
Prince? I've got one. That's the first one I've ever got right.
Is that right?
Yes.
Shane.
May I say something?
Yes, you can say whatever you like as a first-time question getter. Hello.
First time. Just in saving food and stuff like that.
Mm.
So when I buy my bread with my plastic bags and stuff like that, well, you do your bread and then you got those long plastic bags. Right, so you just wash those, hang them out upside down, and when you've got shallots, when you've got celery, when you've got greens, then you just put those in them, in the fridge, you know, downstairs, and you're saving a bit of plastic and you're saving a bit of food.
Hey, that's a good idea. I've never heard that one. So, I mean, I save all kinds of plastic bags. I mean, I hate buying plastic bags, but you can't avoid it. You just can't avoid it. Hang on. So you use the bread bag.
The bread bag. You buy your bread, your long
Because it always comes in plastic, yeah.
Yeah. So once the bread's done, you know, you wash it, you hang it out, you put it over there on the side, and you got then your shallots or you've got celery or you've got something that needs to be nice and crisp. So you know, even carrots or whatever it is, but then it'd last longer by being in that.
In the bread bag. Is that because the bread bag has got holes in it? Which it does, doesn't it?
No, it's just a normal, one of those normal bread bags, you know, like just, it's a plastic bag, but you're just not using, so it's reduce, you know, reuse, recycle, that sort of thing. So I just keep the bread bags are the plastic bags I use.
I like that, Shane. Do you eat every slice of bread in the bag?
Oh, only when I've got a great soup that I've got tonight because it's winter.
You chuck the bread in the soup or eat the...
Well, the bits at the end are the most important. You love them because they're really good. Yeah. I mean, other people don't like them. Do you like those?
I do because as a kid I used to fight with my brothers to get the crust, as we called it. We loved the crust because you could smear it with butter and peanut butter and hook into it. And it was the best piece of the bread. But I think a lot of people don't like it, do they?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Butter and peanut butter, and you're just walking past, get a knife and slather it with whatever what you know, butter or peanut butter.
Exactly.
You know,
I'd go butter. Now, Shane, all this chit chat's all very well. But it doesn't help you with the challenge. So we've answered question number two: which prehistoric supercontinent had a name meaning all Earth in Greek? It's Pangaea. Yes. Question number three:
I don't get to choose the different. No, you do.
You can choose any other category you like, or you can stay here.
Yeah. What are the categories again?
Aboriginal names and words. This is because it's Reconciliation Week began today.
Yeah. I'd love to be able to do that, but I. Yep,
Keep Aboriginal names and words. People mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yes.
History, These Days, or The Inner Planets of the Solar System.
I'm going to go for the love history, the Billy Joel one, I think. I'm going to go for that.
People mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire.
Hmm. Hang on, who's the singer?
No, I didn't say who the singer was. I said people mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire.
Okay. Well, let's go for that anyway.
That's right. Okay, question number three. Who succeeded Franklin D. Roosevelt as President of the United States?
Oh, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Second World War. Second World War, I'm thinking, so he died. No, I don't want to get him in.
This is not helping you, Shane, no.
No.
All right, mate. All right.
Hang on. No, I've got no.
We're going to have to move on, mate. Thank you. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Paul from Essendon. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how are you, Phil?
Hello. That bread bag idea was a good one, Paul. Now, people mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire. Who succeeded Franklin D. Roosevelt as President of the United States?
It was before JFK, so it's going to be
no good.
No.
All right, Paul, thank you. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Corbin is at Success in Perth. Hello, Paul. Hello, Corbin.
Hey, Phil, how are you, mate?
I am all right. Yep, not bad. Question number three. People mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire. Who succeeded Franklin D. Roosevelt as President of the United States?
If it's from, We Didn't Start the Fire, I'm going to say Harry Truman.
Correct. Yes, it was.
A short time ago, an American aeroplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima and destroyed its usefulness to the enemy. That bomb has more power than 20,000 tons of TNT. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction to supplement the growing power of our armed forces. In their present form, these bombs are now in production, and even more powerful forms are in development.
Yes, Corbin, it was Harry Truman. People mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire. Now, there's been a lot of text discussion about bread bags. Jim in Campbelltown says it's a shame it wasn't the category tonight. I'm being told that bread bags do not have holes, at least not in Victoria. Okay. I agree with that. I agree with that. There are some that do and some that don't. Okay.
I'm pretty sure they don't in Perth either. So.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, maybe I've got confused about that. I suppose the point of a plastic bag is, the trouble is bread goes mouldy in a plastic bag, but the idea of reusing them for vegetables I think is a great idea. Question four, people mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire, but you don't have to stay there, you can move.
Yeah, let's go back to the planets. I think I'll do better with that one.
Okay. Corbin from Success in Perth, question number four. Name either of the two moons that orbit Mars.
I'll name you both. They're Deimos and Phobos.
Oh, correct. Yes, very good. Gee, with knowledge like that, Corbin, you should be putting your hand up to be part of the first lunar base.
Hopefully. No,
really?
I don't think so.
Can you imagine a worse gig in the world?
it would be pretty rough, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Do you remember that scene out of Blade Runner? My favourite movie, as everyone I'm sure knows, that scene out of Blade Runner where they have the airships sort of floating around the streets, blasting messages about the opportunities available off-world.
Go live on Mars.
Go live on off. Oh, there are great opportunities off-world. Go live on the moon. I don't know. But the most biggest entertainment you'd ever get would be a big screening of State of Origin, I think. Gee, it'd be on a big delay, though, Corbin, because you would...
It would be on a huge delay.
Be a massive delay. Think of the betting opportunities there. Question number five, the inner planets of the solar system.
Yeah, let's stick with it.
Venus's atmosphere is primarily made up of which greenhouse gas?
I would not have a clue. Let's just guess carbon dioxide.
Correct. Yes, very good. He's a nice demon for the inner planets and his knowledge of them, Corbin. Do you pay any attention to what's going on here on Earth, Corbin?
Not really.
Very wise.
Of course I do.
Right now, looking around the world, you'd be very wise if you didn't actually.
Yeah, answer. True.
Question number six, the last one in the inner planets of the solar system.
Yeah, let's do that one.
To the nearest minute, how long does it take light to travel from the sun to Mercury?
The sun to Mercury.
Yeah.
I know to Earth it's about 8 minutes, so let's just say Mercury's half. I'm going to say 4 minutes.
To the nearest minute.
Yeah, four minutes to Mercury.
Am I giving him that, Dave? To the nearest minute. No, I can't give it to you. Actually.
Nah, all good.
Corbin, but that may probably help others. Thank you, Corbin. See you, mate.
No worries. Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. He was very good, wasn't he? 1-300-800-222 is the number. Natalie is at Broom's Head. Hello, Nat.
How you going?
Pretty good. Question number six. My texter says, wait for it. Phil Trump will make sure the Moon Village has his name on it. Okay, yes. All right. The inner planets of the solar system, Natalie. To the nearest minute, how long does it take light to travel from the sun to Mercury?
2 minutes?
No, not two. Thank you, Nat. No, not 2 minutes. Dave's in Perth. Hi, Dave.
How's things, Phil?
Not bad. We're talking about space travel and bread bags. How about this? Jen in Adelaide reckons bread that is baked on site is often in bags with small holes. It's more of a boutique product. Bakeries, which transport bread all over the place, have plastic bags without holes.
I think all the gourmet bread, they're in like kind of stiffish plastic bags with tiny little holes all through them.
Yeah. I thought, I have bought bread like that. Someone says veggie bags like carrots have breather holes. Oh, yeah. Bread would dry out if there were holes. Okay, maybe that's it.
I've had carrots in bags and I put them in the fridge and they get a little bit slimy.
They do. I know. Whenever I hate buying vegetables in plastic, but you know how it's unavoidable, Dave.
We just got to put holes in them.
Yeah. I just usually tip them out all into the crisper. It's a bit of a lucky dip in there sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
Once a week you have a clean out and all the, you know, the slimy cucumber down at the bottom. That's bad.
Cucumbers go straight in the bin, mate.
I know they do, but I mean, you've got to get them out of the bottom of the crisper, Dave, and they don't come out in one piece. I'm just saying. Question number six. To the nearest minute, how long does it take light to travel from the sun to Mercury, Dave?
Well, it was 2 and 4. Let's go 3.
Correct. Yes, 3 minutes. 3 minutes. I was kind of considering giving it to, but anyway, I can't.
Met it and you like paused and like, I don't know, it seems.
Yeah. I know. I was wondering whether the definition of the nearest minute might mean a minute either side, you see, but I mean, I don't think it does. Because it actually takes 3 minutes and 18 seconds. So 3 minutes is the right answer.
Suzanne would have given it to him.
Oh, don't pull that on me, Dave.
Well,
Suzanne, that is going to get you nowhere.
Suzanne, like, I've like got near enough, it's close enough.
Oh, really? Is that how things are run on the weekends?
Well,
near enough is close enough. Well, Dave, it's this kind of sloppy attitude that has made Australia the weak country that it was. We should be powerful and strong and get things right.
Okay,
sorry.
For the nearest minute.
Dave's about to pull the fader down on me. Question number seven. Sorry, I've had too many cups of coffee. Question number seven. When these days Aboriginal names and words people mention in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire or history?
Can I try history, Phil?
Okay, history it is for question number seven. Farlap's skeleton is on display in which city?
Well, I think it's in New Zealand, so let's go Wellington.
Correct. Very good.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
I think a lot of people say, isn't it where Farlap's heart is? No, there's no way.
I still would have said Wellington.
Yeah, Wellington. Yeah, that's right, yeah. New Zealand horse. It's on display in Wellington. Michael from Greensboro says, I don't think you're cleaning your crisper once a week if the cucumbers have gone slimy enough to not pick up in one piece. Ooh. Ooh. I see. Okay. Ross from Scoresby says, there's no way Suzanne would have given it to him. Okay. All right. Carol from Windsor makes the very salient and important point that bread bags do have a hole, at least one, otherwise you can't get the bread out. Thank you, Carol. Dave, we're up to question number eight. Staying with history?
Yeah, let's stay in history.
The 1469 marriage of Ferdinand II of Aragon and Isabella of Castile is often considered the de facto beginning of which country?
I don't know, Austria?
No, not Austria. Sorry, Dave. Yeah. Thank you. Ray in the Bay says, handy food tip, Phil. Be sure to put a tablespoon of coconut oil in the fry pan before cooking kale so that it can slide easily into the bin. Oh, dear. I don't reckon kale is as bad as you think. 1-300-800-222. Dave in Tassie, that's quite right, Dave. What happens on Nightlife Weekends stays on Nightlife Weekends. Yes, exactly. All righty, let's move on here. Tara from Gunbower in Victoria. Hi, Tara.
Hello, how are you?
Very, very well. I thought you were Tara the Truckee for a second there, Tara, but you're a different Tara. Good on you.
Not a Truckee, no.
Question number eight. We're in history. The 1469 marriage of Ferdinand II of Aragon and Isabella of Castile is often considered the de facto beginning of which country?
No clue, but can I change it? Do I have to have that
one? No, you can't. That's it.
Why can't I change it?
No, you can't.
Joe DiMaggio one.
No, can't you? No good?
Okay, what's the question? Some country? Repeat it, please.
The 1469 marriage of Ferdinand II of Aragon and Isabella of Castile is often considered the de facto beginning of which country?
France.
No, not France. Thank you, Tara, but no, not France. Peter from Armidale. Hello, Peter.
G'day, Phil.
Question number eight. History. The 1469 marriage of Ferdinand II of Aragon and Isabella of Castile is often considered the de facto beginning of which country?
I've no idea. I was going to guess Switzerland.
Not Switzerland, no. Sorry, Peter, not Switzerland. No. Paul says, Phil, the delay in radio, TV and light is about 1.25 seconds from the Earth to the Moon. Is it? I think it's longer than that, isn't it? So no problems for State of Origin. Is that all it is? From the Earth to the Moon, the delay is only 1.25 seconds. I don't know. We'll have to check that. 1-300-800-222. Chris on the Night Watch says kale chips are good. Rodney from Warburton. Hi, Rodney.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning. Question number eight. We're in history. The 1469 marriage of Ferdinand II of Aragon and Isabella of Castile is often considered the de facto beginning of which country?
Yeah, stupid, frawly history and what we used to do. I think it's Spain.
It is. It is Spain. Correct. Yeah, Spain. Harry in the Bay says it could be considered the beginning of the USA because it was they who financed Columbus. Hey, how about that? Okay. No, yeah. Somebody else said they looked it up. It's only 1.3 seconds. Okay.
Isn't it 8 seconds from the sun to the earth?
No, it's longer than that. I think it's eight minutes, isn't it, from the sun to the earth? Yeah, 8 minutes. Now, Rodney, question number 9.
Yes, sir.
We're in history. You can stay there if you like or again move.
Probably will move.
You can go, people mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire, Aboriginal Names and Words, it's Reconciliation Week. These days, up to you.
I'm going to have to stay where I am, I'm sorry.
History? Staying in with history? Yes. Question Thank number you. 9. Which of Henry VIII's wives was the mother of King Edward VI of England?
Catherine.
Not Catherine. Sorry, Rodney, no, not Catherine. Mick from Bamboka. Hello, Mick.
Hey, Phil, how you going?
Yeah, good. Good. Question number 9. We're in history. Which of Henry VIII's wives was the mother of King Edward VI of England?
Must have been one of the last ones because he killed a lot that didn't have sons. No
good.
Don't know, sorry.
No good. All right, Mick, thank you. Kale and kale chips aren't getting much of a rap. Jim in Campbelltown's got the right answer. Sally from Bullsbrook's got the right answer. Yes. Fran in Tura's got the right answer. Susan in Hobart, that's not correct. No. Steve from Leicester. G'day, Steve.
Hello, mate.
Not bad. We're in history. We're up to question number 9. Which of Henry VIII's wives was the mother of King Edward VI of England?
If I can quickly mention an earlier caller, the guy that uses the bread bags.
The bread bag, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he said shallot, oh, yeah, spring onions. And celery, I think it's the shape of the bag that says longer vegetables.
Yeah, he was saying spring onions and celery. That's right. I think that's because they were longer vegetables, yeah.
Yeah, that's just been unmentioned.
Yeah, no, I think that's what he was saying, yeah. Mind you, I mean, it depends how much bread you eat. As he said, you just rinse the bag out, and then he said you hang it on the line until it's dry, and then you keep the bags in a drawer.
The other thing is use your local businesses and you'll get less plastic, you know. Buy a nice loaf of bread, you don't get a plastic bag with it.
Oh, you mean if you buy it from a local bakery? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or your local fruit and veg bloke, yeah.
Yeah, or more from my local fruit and veg bloke. I don't think you can't. All the bread he's got is in plastic bags.
No, man, veg.
Oh, the veg. Yeah, I know, but the whole lot of the veg he's got is in plastic bags too. I mean, and also if you want to buy, you know, X number of spuds.
True.
You know, you either put them in a plastic bag or you carry them in your arms and spill them all onto the scale at the cash register. That never works that well.
Tenderizing them.
Stop it. Steve.
I guess Anne Boleyn.
Not Anne Boleyn. No, thank you. See ya. Not Anne Boleyn. Deborah from Camberwell has got the right answer here. Lynn the Queenslander, Baronia from Adelaide. Hillary, hello Hillary, has got it. Robin says Anne Boleyn, B-E-R-L-I-N. No, it wasn't Anne Boleyn. It wasn't. Warren from Paran in Victoria. Hi, Warren. G'day.
Yeah, I think it's Jane Seymour. She died during or after the birth due to complications.
Correct. Yes, Jane Seymour gave birth to Edward, and Edward became, in the affliction of time, Edward VI of England. But he didn't last long, did he? He died. He was just a kid.
No, He was only nine. I think he was only nine.
He was only 9 years old, I think. That's right.
Mm.
A sickly child. Yeah, no, that's right. All right, question number 10. We're in history. You can move.
Yeah, look, Billy Joel, Who Didn't Start... Oh, sorry, not Who Didn't Start the Fire. That song was from my childhood, so I think I might give that a crack.
People mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire. Okay. Now, people, Paul and others have looked this up. Light and radio and TV travels at 300,000 kilometres per second. The moon on average is blah, blah. So it's about 1.2 seconds, 1.3 seconds each way. As someone says, that's better than the delay on the Listen app sometimes. Oh, dear.
True. True that.
Yeah, all right. Why does John from Mitcham say you can't beat a porterhouse mashed potato, peas and beans and a lot of salt? No, I agree. Well, I agree with you, John. I don't know why you're mentioning it, but thank you for it anyway. All right, people mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire. Question number 10. After singing it in The Man Who Knew Too Much, Que Sera Sera became the signature song of which American film star? People mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire.
I know Doris Day's mentioned in it. Who else is mentioned in it? I don't know. I don't know, but I'm going to have a crack. There's only one other. Oh, yeah, no, I'll have a crack at Doris Day.
Doris Day is correct.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera, what will be.
Yes, it was Doris Day. Karen from Skelton says the world was destined to get a great queen, Elizabeth I. Yes, Elizabeth I, who was the daughter of Anne Boleyn, wasn't she? Warren, question number 11.
I'll stick to the
people mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yes.
Which fictional boy has been played on screen by Alexander Baloney, Jeremy Sumpter and Robin Williams?
Fictional boy. I'm just thinking my Peter Pan, but I can't remember. Yeah, I'll just take a crack at that.
Take a crack at what?
Peter Pan.
Correct.
Your captain is scanning the horizon for our next port of call. Let's see. Ah, there it is. Oh, it's my lunch. That's very good, because a captain's lunch is very important. Unless the captain is the lunch, and that captain happens to be the notorious Captain Hook.
Never smile at a crocodile. No, you can't get friendly with a crocodile. Don't be taken in by his welcome grin. He's imagining how well you'd fit within his skin. Never smile at a crocodile.
Yes, indeed. Pat from the points. says Peter Pan, Pat the Point. Lots of alliteration there. Good on you, Pat. Righto, Warren. Question number 12. Staying here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which epic 1962 movie by David Lean is based on the 1926 autobiography Seven Pillars of Wisdom?
Oh, God.
We're going to have to move on here, Warren, because let's just do it this way. Barry from Toowoomba. Hello, Barry.
Hello,
Oh, g'day, Phil. Phil, it's Barry here.
Yeah, g'day, Barry.
Good, thanks. Phil, I just want to mention an alternative to the bread packet bags.
Oh, yeah.
I have found the cereal bags in the cereal boxes. It's a sort of a cellophane and a plastic sieve between that. It's a wonderful bag for keeping vegetables in.
Oh, is
it's
it?
It's crispy. It's like, once
you finish the cornflakes, you can stick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're wonderful. They are wonderful. I've had them for quite a number of years, Phil.
They'll keep them
the crisper.
Okay.
And you haven't got to put a hole in them. Just punch them up and put them in the crisper.
Oh, okay. Phil?
Yeah.
That's a good tip. Thank you. All right, what do you reckon here? Which epic 1962 movie by David Lean is based on the 1926 autobiography, Seven Pillars of Wisdom?
Phil, I'm sorry, I don't know that one.
That's all right, Barry, thank you.
Yeah. Well, Phil, while you're there, Phil, I'd like to just pass on a good day to my sister who lives in at Redcliffe in the Dolphins country down there. My sister Patsy, she's not real well at the moment. I just want to say hello to her.
There you go. Good on you, Barry. Thanks, mate.
Thank you, Phil. Thank
good,
you.
Good. Yes, a sad night for you, Queenslanders, tonight, Barry.
Yeah, I know. Well, it was a good game. They won. They're a better side.
Yeah. All right. That's very fair of you, Barry. Thank you, mate.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Because we're getting a lot of other opinions on the whole matter. Marie from Naruma. Hi, Marie.
Oh, hello. How are you, Phil?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Question number 12, people mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire. Which epic 1962 movie by David Lean is based on the 1926 autobiography, Seven Pillars of Wisdom?
Oh, golly gosh, I so wish I knew the answer. I've gone, yes, I know that, yes, I know that, yes, I know that. And this one, no.
No good.
But lovely talking to you. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Murray. Bye-bye. Thank you. Any polymer molecule produces microplastics, says my texter. Yeah, I know. That's a massive problem. We've done some stories about that. Tess from Gawler has got the right answer here. Frank from Mount Evelyn's got the right answer. Dario from Fairfield. Hello, Dario.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. We're up to question 12. People mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire. Which epic 1962 movie by David Lean was based on the 1926 autobiography, Seven Pillars of Wisdom?
I had memorized this song, so I definitely, I hope I'm right, but Lawrence of Arabia?
Correct, yes. Oh, you mean you memorized the song, yes.
Yeah.
I think there's no... Yeah, yeah. No, Lawrence of Arabia is correct, yes. All right, question number 13. Here's another suggestion. We reuse the bread bags as bin bags, which works great. The bags fit nicely in an ice cream container for food scraps. Oh, okay. Dario, question 13.
Yep.
We've got one left in people mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire, if you like.
Yep, we'll go with that one.
Norma Jean Mortensen was the birth name of which movie star?
Oh, I'm just trying to think. The movie stars in the song. Carrie Freeman, Doris Day. Just trying to remember the names. I don't know who she is, but I'm just going through the names in my head. There's Princess Grace. Oh, God, I'm going to have to take a guess. Actually, can I ask one question?
No.
Not the previous question about two ago when you asked the question. I didn't hear the answer because I was dialing. Was it Doris Day before the previous answer?
Yes, correct. A singer of Que Sera Sera, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that would leave us with Princess Grace. Oh, who else was there?
Sorry, Dario. We'll have to say goodbye, mate. Thank you anyway. 1-300-800-222. Sam from Harvey. Hello, Sam.
How are you?
Oh, not bad, Sam, yeah.
Yeah.
Question 13 we're up to. People mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire. Norma Jean Mortensen was the birth name of which movie star?
Would it be Marilyn Monroe?
Correct. It's Marilyn Monroe.
You know, I'm going to be 25 in June.
You are?
That's a quarter of a century. Makes a girl think.
About what?
About the future. You know, like a husband That's why I'm glad we're going to Florida.
What's in Florida?
Millionaires. Flocks of them. They all go south for the winter like birds.
Oh, are you going to catch yourself a rich bird?
Oh, I don't care how rich he is. As long as he has a yacht, his own private railroad car, and his own toothpaste.
You're entitled.
Maybe you'll meet one too, Josephine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. She was great. Question 14. We've got no more people mentioned in the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire. So you've got a choice of history, a couple left there. We've got five left in Aboriginal names and words and five left in these days. Sam.
I'll try history. Thanks, Philip.
All right. History it is. Question 14. Which board game became known as the Mad Queen's Game during the Renaissance?
Would it be chess?
Correct, it is. Yeah, it's chess. Nice work. All right, question 15.
Two in a row. Well,
it's been a while since you've done two in a row, Sam. Good on you. Question 15. We've got one left in history, if you like.
Yes, please.
Which British political party was founded in the 1830s by Sir Robert Peel?
Which political party?
Yeah, which British political party was founded in the 1830s by Sir Robert Peel?
I'm probably wrong. I'll say Labour.
Not Labour. No.
All right.
Thanks, Sam. See you, mate. Bye-bye. Thank you. Well done. George from Melville in WA. G'day, George.
Hi, Phil.
Question 15, history. Which British political party was founded in the 1830s by Sir Robert Peel? It's not the Labour Party.
The Conservatives?
Sorry?
Conservatives?
The Conservative Party, yes, correct. It was the Conservative Party. All right, that's the end of history. So we've only got two categories left. We've got these, we've got 10 questions left, five in Aboriginal names and words and five in these days.
Aboriginal names and words.
Aboriginal names and words it is. Question 16. Which deadly snakes take their name from the Wik-Munkan language of North Queensland?
Taipan?
Correct. A taipan.
That's a record for me, Phil. I've never got two in a row in 25, 30 years.
On you, George. On you, George. Question 17. Aboriginal names and words. It's Reconciliation Week. That's why we have a category.
Yeah, I read that this morning in the Western Australian.
Yep. Question 17. Okay, Aboriginal names and words.
Yeah.
Which Victorian city has a name meaning resting place in the
Melbourne?
In the Wadda Wurrung language?
Melbourne?
Not Melbourne, no. Sorry, George. Thank you, mate. Bye-bye. Well done on getting two in a row. Adrian from Bella Vista had the taipan, and Karen from Sydney had the Tories. Annette from Perth had the taipan. Thomas from Oak Flats. Hi, Thomas.
How you going?
All right.
Good.
Question 17. Aboriginal names and words is where we're at. Which Victorian city has a name meaning resting place in the Wadda Wurrung language? It's not Melbourne.
Albury?
Not Albury, no.
Oh.
Not Albury, sorry. No, not Albury. Ian from Dover in Tassie. G'day, Ian.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Very well. It's a bit wet, a bit cool, but that's
is it?
A bit of time.
Oh, okay. Yes.
That's the way you want it. It'll be fine on the weekend and then it'll rain next week.
Yeah, all fine on the weekend's good. You can get out and do some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Question 17 we're up to. Aboriginal names and words. Which Victorian city has a name meaning resting place in the Wadda Wurrung language? It's not Melbourne. It's not Albury, but don't think Albury would be classified as a Victorian city, would it?
No, probably not. I will have a stab at Ballarat.
Correct. Very good. Ooh.
I nearly went Bendigo.
You see, whenever you get a choice,
go the other way.
It's always Ballarat or Bendigo. That's right. Who had the gold rush?
Wodonga.
I don't think they ever found gold in Wodonga, and I don't think they ever will.
No.
Mind you, actually, Albury Wodonga looks pretty different these days, you know.
It's not a bad part of the world.
It's not a bad part of the world. No, I agree with that. It's a very good part of the world. I mean, talk about inland cities. I mean, if you put aside Canberra, for example, which is the biggest one, if you talk about inland cities, because, I mean, a lot of them aren't that great. So what would you go? I mean, yeah, Albury Wodonga would be there. Would be easily in there, I think, as, you know, great place. Yeah.
Like, I sort of quite like Mildura as well, but whether that's a city.
Yeah, I don't think Mildura is big enough, is it, as a city?
Don't tell people in Mildura that.
No. Anybody listening in Mildura, ring in.
There'll be a rush of phone calls.
Oh, no, I don't think maybe you don't want to be in a city. Question 18. We're in Aboriginal names and words, but you could also go to these days.
Oh, I think I'll move to these days.
These days, question number 18. What's the usual day for elections in the USA?
Tuesday.
Correct. Yeah, that's nice work.
Thank you.
One.
I think it's the strangest thing to do, to have an election on a Tuesday. That's cutting a few people out.
Well, did you hear right? Did you read more? I mean, apparently the reason why is this, because the framers in the early days thought that the weekends were for church and God. You know, for Saturdays and Sundays, because they're religious people, of course, and that was a big part of the world. And then you couldn't have it on Wednesdays because that was market day. So they
is a logical reason for it then.
So they opted for Tuesdays, which, because you see, it's the same in England, isn't it? I think they have elections on, do they have elections on Tuesdays in England? They're not on the weekend anyway, I know that.
When they invented postal voting, it was a better suggestion.
Well, Australia is, I mean, they should all take, you know, examples from us, because we've got the best system. Vote on the weekend and it's compulsory.
Well, yeah, it gets a result too.
And you get a result. Question number 19. We're in these days, if you like.
Yes.
In France, which annual religious observance is known as Mercredi des Cendres? Mercredi des Cendres.
That's am I looking for which day of the week?
In France, which annual religious observance is known as Mercredi des Cendres? And we're in a category called These Days.
These Days. These Days.
Which annual religious observance?
Easter. Easter Friday.
Not Easter Friday. No. Sorry. Hey, by the way, and have you seen a picture of the White House recently? Did you see that Donald Trump's building a giant UFC cage fighting arena behind the White House?
The last time I was able to perceive anything in the visual spectrum was when he knocked half of it down.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, I'm fitting you up with seeing things again, aren't I?
Yeah. No, that's all right. I can go and feel his cage fighting arena, and then I'll back up.
All right. And by the way, we've just discovered that election day in the UK is by convention a Thursday. So, yeah. Okay. For similar reasons, because, you know, Wednesday's market day and the weekend's religion. Okay, Ian, thank you, mate. See ya. Bye. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Here's the Tara on the road in the truck. G'day, Tara.
G'day, Phil. How are you tonight?
Not bad. Question 19 we're up to. These days, in France, which annual religious observance is known as Mercredi des Cendres?
Mercredi
des Cendres.
First thought was going to be Christmas, but I'm just wondering if that's Easter Monday. Mercredi sounds more like a Monday. I'll go with Easter Monday.
Yeah. Not Monday, Tara. Thank you. See you, mate.
All right, thanks,
Bye.
Phil.
Bye. See you later. Who's got the answer here? Karen in Sydney's got the right answer. No, it's not that either. Wally, I'll come to you shortly. Monica from the Hunter Valley. Hello, hello, Mon.
Hey there, Phil. I hope everybody's going well, and I hope the paramedics are going all right with this rain and on the road.
Yes, exactly. Well, this rain would cause dramas on the roads, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm going to have a guess at Mother's Day.
No, it's not Mother's Day either.
Okay.
Thank you.
Catch you all later.
See ya. Bye. Thanks, Mon. Mercredi de Sondre. Brolga from Brunswick Rest has got the right answer. Lynn, the Queenslander, says, good morning, Phil. Trump is an idiot. Thank you, Lynn. Short and sweet. Trev from Surface Paradise. Hello, Trev.
Hello, Philip.
Question 19. These days, in France, which annual religious observance is known as Mercredi de Sondre?
Mercredi, I don't know. It sounds a little bit like a miracle. Am I allowed to have two guesses?
You know you're not.
I'm not, and it's a religious day.
In France, which annual religious observance is known as Mercredi de Sondre?
De Sondre. I'm going to go the Ascension.
No, not the Ascension. No, it's not. All right, well, while we attend to our religious history and observances, we'll have some news as well. Pam and Hobart's got the right answer here. Yes. Annette in Perth has got the right answer. Tina in Fairfield as well. First up, we have a little thing to complete called
The Mighty Challenge.
Yes, where we were up to question number 19. The question was, in France, which annual religious observance is known as Mercredi de Sondre? Now, Susan from Greensboro is on the line. Hi, Susan.
Oh, hello.
What do you reckon?
I reckon it's Ash Wednesday.
Correct. Yes, if everyone was misled by my pronunciation of the French word for Wednesday, Mercredi, my apologies. But there you are. You know,
it's... It was okay.
Mercredi de Sondre. Ash Wednesday, question number 20. All right, we've got... three in Aboriginal names and words, and three in these days.
These days.
These days. Which 2002, sorry, now we'll leave that. In the Bible, on which day did God create the sun and the moon, Susan?
Maybe day one.
Not day one.
Oh.
No, sorry, Susan, not day one. Wally from Glenfield. Hello, Wally.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Susan stole my Mercredi.
Mercredi de Sondre.
I want it back because I'm an atheist, and now you ask me a question about the Bible.
That's not much interest to you by the sound of it, Wally.
Well,
if you're regarded as a book, anyway.
I know I'm down to six because the first day's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have six after that. And Sunday is the day of what, lying in listening to the footy or something like that?
Yeah. I think you're supposed to brush your hair and clean your shoes and go to church. But anyway, let's let bygones be bygones here, Wally. Go on.
Gee, that would be interesting to know what he did on the different days. I wonder what he got paid to do that.
How do you know it's a he?
Yes. And was he on double time or time and a half?
Stop it. In the Bible, on which day did God create the sun and the moon?
Okay. Let me try to think about this logically. He might have created the heavens on the first day, perhaps. Now, I'm completely just guessing. And, yeah, so I'm thinking that maybe the sun and the moon came second, perhaps.
No, not second, Wally. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Wally. Not second. Barbara from Falconbridge. Hello, Barbara.
Oh, hi.
Hello. Question 20.
I'm here with my kidney pain waiting for you.
Question number 20. In the Bible, on which day did God create the sun and the moon?
Well, I believe it was the sixth day, and then on the seventh day he rested and saw that everything was good.
No, he didn't. He may have rested and thought everything was good, but that's not correct. Cameron from South Perth. Hello, Cameron.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning. We're in a category called These Days. Question number 20. In the Bible, on which day did God create the sun and the moon?
First day.
No, it wasn't the first day. No, sorry, Cameron. No, it wasn't the first day. Janet from Caulfield. Hello, Janet.
Hi, Phil.
In the Bible, on which day did God create the sun and the moon?
I don't know. I rang up Fresh Wednesday, but let me guess.
We know it wasn't the first day.
No.
It wasn't the second day. And it wasn't the sixth day.
Third day.
So it's kind of, there are a few choices left here. Sorry, what did you say?
Third day?
No, it's not the third day.
Oh, yeah.
We're kind of running out of options here, aren't we? 1-300-800-222 is the number. Lines are free. The board is there. You will get straight through if you want to answer it. We're up to question number 20, so you could win from here. Dave from Toowoomba says, I'm agnostic. Jane from Homebush, that's correct. Yes, Ingrid from Malanda, that's correct as well. Come on, 1-300-800-222. Oh, in the Bible, on which day did God create the sun and the moon? It wasn't the first, second, third, or the sixth. So I reckon you've got a good chance of lucking out even if you don't know. It was the last day, Phil, and he said last one out, turn out the lights. No. 1-300-800-222. Bob from Greenacre. Can I help me out here, Bob?
Oh, I hope so. The fifth day.
No, it's not the fifth day.
Sorry.
Okay. Which probably means that the next person is going to get the right answer. It's not the fifth day. John from Mitcham. Yes, correct. Brett from Chapman Valley. Have you read your Bible, yeah. Brett?
Nope.
In the Bible, on which day did God create the sun and the moon?
I'm going to go for the fourth day.
Thank you. Yes, the fourth day. Correct. We got there in the end. It was the last possible guess. All righty. Question number 21. We could stay with These Days, where there are two left, or we could move to Aboriginal names and words, where there are three left.
We'll stay with These Days.
All right. These days, in the Orthodox tradition, Mondays are dedicated to which supernatural creatures?
Sorry, the call dropped out. I missed that.
In the Orthodox tradition, Brett.
Yes.
Mondays are dedicated to which supernatural creatures?
I have no idea. I'm going to say no, I got no idea.
No idea? Okay. All right, we'll leave it. Ant from Mitcham says God received penalty rates the day after he created the unions. I suppose. Karen from Sydney's got the right answer on this one. Yes, Maria's got the right answer on this too. What about George from Wongulla? G'day, George.
That's me, but I haven't got a clue, mate, on that one.
Okie dokie. Thanks, George. So, yeah, Keith from Busselton. Help us out, Keith.
What was the question again?
In the Orthodox tradition, Mondays are dedicated to which supernatural creatures?
Oh, that would have been the Mundong, wouldn't it?
The what?
Mundong?
not the whatever you're talking about. No, this is the answer. Pat from the Point says, I've tried to build a Lego set during a blackout before. God must have had a similar experience for the first 3 days in that case. yes, well, that's true. Ingrid from Atlanta says, it's a well-known fact that Australia is a post-Christian society. Okay. Atticus. Hello, Atticus. Hi, Atticus.
Yeah.
Question.
What was the question again?
2021. We're in a category called these days, right? In the Orthodox tradition, Mondays are dedicated to which supernatural creatures?
Oh, this is a guess. Is it holy angels or angels?
Correct. Yes, it is. Holy angels. Yes. Hello? Now, Atticus, you've got to answer the question on your own.
Yeah, so no, we're on the ride home. It's a car trip home.
Okay. All righty, question number 22, but you can't get help, okay? So we've got Aboriginal names and words and or these days.
Yep.
Well, you got to choose.
Oh, sorry, can you say it again?
Aboriginal names and words or these days?
These days.
These days. Which US soap opera is set in the fictional Midwestern town of Salem?
Oh, it's a witch trial one. Is it Twilight?
Not Twilight, no. Sorry, mate, no. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Jim in Campbelltown says, why is it wrong to kill a mockingbird, Atticus? I guess that's where the name came from. If Earth is our mother and the moon is our father, does that make our sun their son? I don't know. These theological questions are way beyond me. 1-300-800-222. Karen from Sydney, that's correct. Come on, who's going to help us here? Which US soap opera is set in the fictional Midwestern town of Salem? Which US soap opera? 1-300-800-222. Line's free. Grab one. What do you reckon? Which US soap opera is set in the fictional Midwestern town of Salem? We're up to question number 22. Four left. You could get home from here. Anybody going to help us out here? 1-300-800-222. Rita from Leonay, correct. Rural in Port Franklin, correct. Annette from Perth, also correct. But you'll need to call me if you're going to win. Karen in Sydney, that is correct. Spencer from Geelong. Hi, Spencer.
Yep. How you doing?
Not bad. What are we after? Which US soap opera is set in the fictional Midwestern town of Salem?
Is it the Salem Witchcraft?
No, not the Salem Witchcraft, no. Pearl in Darwin. Hello, Pearl.
Hi, Phil. How you going?
Pretty good. What do you reckon?
Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives, yeah. Thank you, Pearl. Good on you. Hey, that's a nice text I've just had. Phil, at the age of 42, I've finally had enough of listening to Triple J and I've come over to ABC Radio permanently, I think, from Maui and New Minor. I've always loved the call-in quiz. It's real radio connecting with the community. There we go.
Nice.
Question 23. There's only three left here. They're all in Aboriginal names and words.
Okay.
Which marsupials take their name from a Darug word meaning no water?
No water?
No water. That's the big clue.
I don't know, Phil. Koalas?
Correct.
Yeah, because they just eat gum leaves, don't they?
They do. Although, apparently, they do drink, but it does not... No, it's not immediately apparent how. All right, there's two left. Aboriginal names and words.
Mm-hmm.
Nipaluna is the Muinina name for which Australian capital city? Nipaluna.
Nipaluna.
Nipaluna is the Muinina name for which Australian capital city?
No idea. I'll just guess Melbourne.
That rules one out, doesn't it? No. Thanks, Pearl. See ya.
Thanks. Bye.
Sandy in South Perth, correct. Susan, correct. Harry in the Bay, correct. Nick in Cairns. G'day, Nick.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Not bad. Nipaluna is the Muanina name for which Australian capital city?
I'm going to have a guess and say Perth.
Say what?
Perth.
Not Perth. No, it's not Perth. Sorry, no, not Perth, but that rules another one out. It's not Melbourne. It's not Perth. Where are we? Andrew in Goolwa. Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
Hello. What do you reckon? Nipaluna is the Muanina name for which Australian capital city?
Darwin.
Not Darwin. No, not Darwin. Sarah from Alphington. Hello, Sarah.
Hi. I'm actually from Alphington, not Clinton, whatever you said, but anyway.
Oh, Alphington. Sorry. Yeah.
That's all right. You know what prompted me to call?
Mm-hmm.
Was the Days of Our Lives theme. I remember during lockdown that there was a woman who used to ring up Jacinta Parsons and would, like, do a commentary of Days of Our Lives in her cupboard because her family didn't know she was doing it. It was the most... I was like, I just have to share this. I probably don't know the answer to any of your questions, but it gave my little... whatever, a tickle.
I thought it was... Your funny bone, a tickle. Yeah.
That's it. So we've ruled out Melbourne, Darwin...
And Perth.
Okay. Let's go Adelaide.
Not Adelaide.
Okay.
We're running out. Thank you. We are running out. Are we not? Leaper in Adelaide. Hello, Leaper.
Leper, yes, sweetie, I don't know because I rang for the Salem one, so I've got no idea.
No idea? Really. Okay.
Well.
All righty, we'll move on. Thank you. Ursula from Townsville. Hello, Ursula.
Hello, hello.
Nipaluna is the Muanina name for which Australian capital city?
Hobart.
Correct, yes, it is. It's Hobart. That's right.
That's where the AM program comes of the morning to us.
Sabra Lane, I think. It's right. Yes, broadcasts from Nipaluna, doesn't she? Well, it used to, yeah.
Yes.
All righty. That means something quite important here because you've dealt yourself into a situation. Question number 25, and to win, we're in Aboriginal Names and Words. Which multi-platinum Australian singer and actress has a first name that means boomerang in the Noongar language?
No idea. Sorry.
No good?
No.
All right, Ursula. Thank you. It's waiting for somebody. Who is it going to be? Norma's in Bendigo. Hi, Norma.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. Which multi-platinum Australian singer and actress has a first name that means boomerang in the Noongar language?
No, I don't know any. Sorry,
no good.
I don't know it.
All right, well, we'll move on. Bernadette from Kayleen. Hi, Bernadette.
Oh, hi, Phil. All I can think of is Nerilda Jacobs.
No, it's not Nerilda Jacobs. No, it's not. Dave in Arnhem Land. G'day, Dave.
I think I'll say good night, Phil.
No good. Okie doke. Thank you. Who's going to help us out here? David from Elizabeth in South Australia. Hi, David.
Yeah, hi, Phil. How are you going?
Pretty good. Which multi-platinum Australian singer and actress has a first name that means boomerang in the Noongar language?
Before I say that, Phil, can you tell me what's happened with the masked man, Rod Quinn? Is he still with ABC Radio?
He's still with ABC Radio. Yes, he is.
I've heard of Rod for ages. No, he went overseas for a while.
No, he's around. Yeah.
He does fill-ins, does he? Fill-ins on...
He does, bits and pieces. He's doing bits and pieces. I'm sure he'll pop up again.
Rod here on Nightlife and overnights. Look, the answer to that question is one or two. I'll go Casey Donovan.
Not Casey Donovan.
Oh, no.
Sorry, David. No, it's not Casey Donovan. Eddie in Perth. G'day, Eddie.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Good. Who are we after?
I missed the question.
Which multi-platinum Australian singer and actress has a first name that means boomerang in the Noongar language?
Oh, can you give that to me one more time, please?
No, we'll have to move on. Dallas from Narre Warren. G'day, Dallas.
G'day.
Hello.
Ernie Dingo.
Not Ernie Dingo. No, it's not Ernie Dingo. Oh, dear. Gail from Wollongong. Hi, Gail.
Hi.
Who are we after?
I'll have to let it go.
No, all right. No. I'm surprised, I must say. Pat from Shoalhaven. Hello, Pat.
Oh, hello. I can see faces and I just can't get names. And it's not going to be Christine Arnoux.
It's not Christine Arnoux. No, it's not. No. Which multi-platinum Australian singer and actress has a first name that means boomerang in the Noongar language? Who is going to help us out here? Kane is in Carlton. Kane will know this. G'day, Kane.
G'day, Phil.
You'll know this. Who is it?
I think it might be the singing budgie.
Well, you said that. You said that, not me. You better give her a name, I think, Kane.
That's the Western term for Kylie singing budgie.
Kylie Minogue, exactly. Kylie Minogue, because Kylie is a Noongar language, a Noongar word meaning boomerang. Kylie means boomerang, as Kane knows. Thank you, Kane. Good on you.
I take it back, by the way. I started watching the doco series on her, and I think she's fabulous.
Oh, yeah, did you? Hang on. Yeah, I know. I haven't seen it yet. I've got it on my list to watch, actually. Is it good? Is it good?
I've only watched the first one. It's pretty dramatic, as you might expect. Yeah. But, it's I don't know, it's a story worth telling, that's for sure.
You've got to admire Kylie. I mean, she's built a career that has lasted and lasted.
Oh, no, she's the best. She's awesome.
Reinvented herself so many times.
She's done, she's survived really well in the public.
Yeah.
After so many years as well, decades. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I can also remember...
Dave's giving it a 10 out of 10. And Dave is a very harsh, unforgiving man.
The doco thing...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I mean, I don't know. It's got Netflix fingerprints all over it. I mentioned the brand name, but yeah. You know what I mean. But yeah, no, it's definitely worth watching.
Okay. A lot of good footage.
Yeah, Jason Donovan also is hilarious in it. He seems like a really fascinating character. Because I feel like he sort of gets set up as like, they sort of set it up as if he's like really bitter that she sort of ended up going with Michael Hutchins.
Well, you see, that was a great career move, wasn't it, in a way? It was. It gave Kylie a whole level of indie cred, which Kylie didn't, up until that stage, despite her many achievements, she did not have that. But after hanging around with Michael Hutchins,
you'll have to watch it. It's entertaining.
Yeah. Also Nick Cave, of course, too.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. All right.
Nick Cave, Michael Hutchins, and Jason Donovan. Pick the odd one out.
Pick the odd
one. Which one hasn't been on Neighbours?
Go away. All right, Kane.
I'll
put you on hold. We'll get some details from you. And Dave will send this out to you, maybe.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.